Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe when too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that little pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science. Very good. Quickly, we're going to give you two in a second. Then work it up. Look at you.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 for me.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch.
Jesus Christ, I got
it. Oh,
I got
it. Whoa. Smells like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, welcome to this edition of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
And Larry, it's summertime in the city here in New York.
Yep.
It's girls all hot and pretty.
Yep. And the Alec Baldwin sweaty balls is coming into play. Everybody, hope you're enjoying that right now.
What's the rest of that song, by the way?
What, sweaty balls?
No.
What?
Hot time, summer in the city. Girls looking hot and
pretty.
Whatever.
Whatever.
What's from summer. The 70s?
Isn't that weird? I can sing the song if the song was actually playing.
Yeah.
But I can't do it off the top of my head. It's like the national anthem. I'm just kidding.
I have a horrible memory when it comes to music. It doesn't help that I'm tone deaf either.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh?
Couldn't carry a tune in a fucking paper bag. But anyway. All right. This is The Riot. Welcome to our episode. We've got a lot of topics we want to cover this week, Larry.
Yep.
And to do so, we have to get one thing out of the way, and that would be
the bing bing.
Go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com for all your riotous needs, past episodes, synopsis, show descriptions, video and audio archives. Go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. After you get done there, partake in the social goodness of The Riot. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thatriotshow, facebook.com/thatriotshow. Join the rest of your fellow rioters on the Facebook page. Join up. Make a couple of posts, Larry. See if you can start a couple of arguments or settle a few. Or if you feel you're ready to graduate to the big leagues, you can go to Twitter, twitter.com/thatriotshow, twitter.com/thatriotshow, where I am diligently working on getting banned by our commander-in-chief. It'll happen, because he's got very thin skin. So, twitter.com/thatriotshow.
Have to give him a little credit, though.
What's that?
Other people have banned you a lot faster than he actually puts up with you.
Well, he puts up with me because I'm one of, like, 3 million or whatever on his thing. But
3 billion.
Whatever it is, yeah. But let's start right off, Larry, now that we've got the pimping out of the way. Oh, wait, we haven't done the pimping.
No,
Phil,
hold on.
Phil's waving his hands.
Roll the scroll.
Right.
So we can
I forgot all about that. Phil was waving frantically, like trying to flag down a $10 hooker for a blowjob.
See, now if it were $5.
Anyway, Scroll-O podcast. Here it goes. The Scroll-O podcast, in case you want to listen to us when you're on the road, you don't have time to watch our beauteous visages, go to your favorite podcast platform. You can go to iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, Spreaker, Player FM, Mixcloud, TuneIn, SoundCloud, anywhere the podcasts can be found. You'll find The Riot. Just search for That Riot Show, That Riot Show on your favorite podcast platform. And Phil, thank you. You finally earned your money for the week. All right, you know what I'm talking about, especially when you don't get paid. You got to earn that cheddar.
Fuck you, Phil.
There you go. All right. So a lot of things we want to get to first. And the first thing is going to be the terrorist attacks. Larry, fresh, off the AP. Terrorist attacks in London again.
Going on as we speak.
Right. Initial reports, I think, said there were three terrorist attacks. Now we're hearing and seeing some stuff that it might have been two and a copycat that was unrelated, something.
Yeah, not a copycat, just a stabbing.
Right.
That happened in the Vauxhall or Vauxhall, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, V-A-U-X-H-A-L-L, section of London. It turned out to be an unrelated, just a stabbing.
Right.
Other two attacks, which are real, the one on the London Bridge and the one in the Borough Market. Right?
Yeah, basically it's the new tactic du jour of the savages, which is they just find the biggest truck they can find and just plow through a crowd of people. In cities, which, you know, in the major cities is easy to find. And in this particular case, after plowing a van into a crowd of people in both locations, I think at least in one of them, the driver came out and just started randomly
stabbing people. Yeah.
So, again, you know, how many times can you say prayers for blank, you know, prayers for London? And this on the heels of the Ariana Grande incident during her concert where these animals set off explosives, you know, with the nails to disperse.
Right.
At a concert where basically teeny boppers were attending.
All little girls.
Little girls, little boys, just like literally just targeting children to raise the stakes, to amp up the fear and the terror aspect of it.
Just when you thought they couldn't be any fucking lower and disgusting than they already are. Deliberately targeting like 12-year-old girls listening to Ariana Grande in Manchester. This is ridiculous.
And, you know, after the concert attack, we found out that the guy who perpetrated it was on a watch list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, of course, that leads to a lot of people. And look, sometimes it's fair, sometimes it's unfair. Like, if there's 11,000 people on watch lists, but they haven't committed crimes, what are you going to do? You can't follow them around every day, every minute. In civilized societies, you can't throw people in jail for something you think they might do. Despite what rubes think, you can't do that.
No.
Despite what President Trump thinks, you just can't pick people up and throw them in jail for something. You know, this isn't Minority Report, that stupid movie with Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. You know, you actually have to commit a crime or have evidence of conspiracy of a crime, something, or to commit a crime before you actually get arrested, right? So a watch list, look, you need them and you don't. And on some level, they really don't help you in a lot of cases.
They don't help you, but the only problem, some of the things, which is annoying, is not only that these people are on a list, but sometimes you find out these things, like the guys in Manchester, neighbors had called in and said, look, we really think he's, like, dangerous, and he's been talking like this and that, and they still didn't do anything.
Right.
Like, as far as I'm concerned, if you start getting reports from people, like, somebody's dangerous or somebody, I think you can act on that a little bit more.
Right.
You're not violating anybody's rights because, as it turns out, it's people are dangerous. They're murdering innocent people.
There's this fine line, and, you know, I really wish, at least in this country, I know that in, you know, like in England, it's also bad, but there's this fine line between wanting to, so the polarization of politics makes it that if you speak out because you think someone's suspicious, the liberals or the left will attack you for being a racist. And if you don't do anything at all, then the right attacks you for being soft on terrorism. There has to be something where people should feel, for lack of a better term, Larry, just be reasonable about it, okay? Yeah. Like, I mean, if you see Muslims gathering around suspiciously, and you may have overheard some whatever. Is every one of them going to be a terrorist cell? Or a couple of them going to be a poker game on a Friday night? Absolutely, okay? But that doesn't mean that you blanket either or think every Muslim's a fucking terrorist, or the opposite, no fucking Muslims are terrorists. That it's really the fault of mean conservatives and Trump supporters.
And white guys.
Or white guys in general, okay?
Which is so stupid.
Which is the other opposite end of the extreme.
Right.
Which is honestly just as deadly.
stupid.
Okay? Again, this attack today, the extreme reluctance for anyone to say, we think this is another Muslim terrorist attack. You know, like, you really have to drag the guy in and show that he's a Muslim and show, then dig into his life to prove that he was an extremist Muslim before anybody now in the major media will admit that terrorism, Larry, is likely related to Muslim extremists.
Right.
Or to just Islam in general, okay?
Yeah, they want to talk about white guys.
Right.
It's ridiculous. That's their fallback position. Somebody who's a Muslim commits an attack. Let's talk about Dylann Roof. Let's talk about Timothy McVeigh. Let's talk about Alex Bissonnette in Quebec City. Let's talk about white guys killing, which is so stupid. I mean, how many times have I told you it's not a contest? And if that's your answer, well, there are white guys. Well, there are black guys who kill people. There are Hispanic guys who kill people. There are Asian guys who kill people. I mean, there are straight guys and gay guys who kill people. How far are you going to drag that out just to avoid pointing out that there is a global problem with Muslim terrorism, people becoming radicalized, and this is the new thing. Let me go and kill people and die for, and you know, how do you fight people who think they're going to a better place?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and then the other thing, you're right, and then, which brings me to account, who was that crazy dude in Portland that stabbed two or tried to stab?
Oh, that guy Christian.
Yeah, saying go back to your country and all that. Yeah, you know what? That guy is a fucking psychopath.
Yeah, he's a lunatic.
And he should be probably executed, if found guilty.
And for all his racist remarks that he made to the two people he stabbed and killed were white. So he's kind of a dummy. I mean, the point is, you know, guys like that, you know, look, pack him away, put him in jail, put him in a war.
But please don't tell me that guy is indicative of terrorism. It's not.
It's right.
Okay? And for anyone to be so disingenuous as to say, ingenuous, to say, oh, that guy is just a terrorist. He's using ideology to spread hate and fear. No, stupid. Every murder does that. The point is there a coordinated effort by a group of like-minded people to cause death, destruction, and terror, okay? For all their shit, you don't hear about white supremacists running around en masse. They just want to be left alone in the woods of Nebraska or some shit, or Montana.
Every once in a while, you've got like a Dylann Roof or something. You're talking about isolated incidents, and you're talking about people who, whether it's racially motivated or not, some of them are just like mentally ill. You know,
right.
Like that guy Jared... What's his face? I forgot his last name. Who killed the... He shot that congresswoman from Arizona.
Gabby Giffords,
What was his name? Jared Cook or something? He's just disturbed.
Right.
He was mumbling stuff. They looked at his website. He'd scrolled just like crazy stuff. That's not even political or racial. He's just a mentally deranged person. So you have to be able to distinguish between that and like even the guy in Manchester who blew up the bombing, the attack... There's footage of him from like last year, like putting out his garbage. Did you see that?
No.
Walking around in a robe. Some neighbor took pictures of him. Don't ask me why. Maybe because he was dangerous. Putting out his garbage, like walking around like normally. You know, you can't chalk that up to mental illness. What mental illness causes you to go out, buy guns, make pressure cooker bombs, and yell Allah Akbar and kill innocent people? That's not mental illness. That's being radicalized.
Yeah.
And that's religious extremism. Mental illness is like this guy Christian. He started yelling at these Muslim girls on a train and he actually went into court, just so you know, and said the grounds for what he did was patriotism.
Right.
Now, if he's not nuts, I don't know who is.
No, he's nuts and he should be vilified and he should be, convicted and tried and, you know, like I said, if there's a death penalty, he deserves it, okay?
Oh, not in our
opinion. See, here's the thing, what I'm saying though, is the difference is, we're not making excuses for the guy.
Right.
We're not looking for someone else to blame for his actions. Okay? When you look at these things, and the first thing you've got, like, what, you know, in London, we saw the tweets. Literally, they're telling people, run away! You know, like that Monty Python thing, run away! Hide! Now, yeah, okay, I get it. Maybe in that instance, you want people to kind of get out of the way.
Away from potential violence. Yeah.
But you're telling an entire country now, a sovereign nation, that their best course of action in the face of savagery is to run and hide.
Right.
Not buckle down. Not let's get these motherfuckers. Not even possibly saying maybe citizens should have the right to arm themselves if they don't feel safe, which in England you can't do.
They wouldn't do it anyway.
Only the police are allowed to carry guns there. Okay? Now, it's hack, and I know a lot of liberals will be like, well, in the U.S., shit happens and not everybody's armed. But in those cases where citizens are armed, they have stopped shit. Like, whether you want to like it or not, those savage Muslims that went down to Pamela Geller's, like, Draw Muhammad contest in Texas, they showed up with automatic weapons to do some damage, and guess what? A couple of good old boys from Texas had their guns with them.
Yeah, and one off-duty cop saw them and put them down. But, you know, the example I always give people whenever they say, because nobody pays attention to it, is Canada. Does anybody remember the guy in Canada, in Ottawa? That's their capital. For all those people out there, I've met a few who think that Toronto's the capital. It's not. It's Ottawa. Okay? That guy showed up at the capital, yelled Allah Akbar, and he killed the guy out front. That poor kid, he's like a 30-year-old kid, 20-year-old kid, whatever he was. It's largely ceremonial.
Right.
So he's out front.
Sergeant at arms.
Right. So his weapon is not loaded. So even if he knows, even if he could see the attack coming, there's nothing he can do because his gun is not loaded. Guy kills him. Runs into their parliament. Now think of what this is. I mean, all joking aside, this would be like if somebody ran into Congress and just started killing all the Democrats and Republicans. Up there, they call their politicians the MPs. So this guy runs inside. He's about to start spraying the room with bullets. The sergeant of arms, I forget his name, Sean something, Irish guy. He's been the sergeant of arms in the Canadian Parliament for 30 years. Never drew his weapon. Nothing. It's loaded.
But most
the guy comes in. He's about to start spraying the room. Shoots him dead. If that guy doesn't have a gun, or if he has a gun that's not loaded, like the poor unfortunate out front who got killed, all those MPs, liberal and conservative, they're all dead or mostly all dead. This would be what carnage, and their government would fall apart. I mean, if you killed everybody, and meanwhile, nobody learns anything from that. Right. The people who think that you need like gun-free zones, go fuck yourself. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. This didn't happen because this Sergeant Rams saw the guy coming. He yelled Allah Akbar, shot him dead, and put him down. And I forgot what day. I think it happened in August. In August, but every August, 2nd or 8th, whatever day it was, he's National Sean. I'm sorry, I forgot your last name. But it's a day of remembrance for this guy who saved everybody's life. So let me tell you something. Guns have a positive effect in this situation.
Well, the thing is, despite what liberals think, it doesn't add anything negative to the situation. Because you've got a guy who's helped, like, it's not a robber or the old school hijackers in the 70s that wouldn't kill you if you gave them what they want.
Right.
Like, you remember the old school growing up in the 70s? Like, the nationalists what were they?
The Weathermen?
No, the Weathermen were just the guys who bombed. No, like the guys who hijacked planes, I forget their names.
They always wanted to go to Cuba.
Yeah, they always said fly me to Cuba because they were communists, anarchists, radicals and all that shit. But you know, with them, the policy back then was don't antagonize them, give them what they want and everyone gets out alive. And that was typically the thing, right? It started to shift when you had these Muslims get involved. It started with the 72 games in Munich where they, the Palestinian terrorists got a hold of the Israeli athletes and just killed them all.
Yeah.
They demanded planes. They demanded people get released. All their demands were met. They fucking just shot each one of them in cold blood. And that's when we should have realized, like, these guys are not playing by civilized rules anymore. They're not playing by any sort of normalized society, right? So when you have a guy, a Muslim savage, who's just driving through the streets, mowing people down, and then when the car gets stuck or can't, you know, the truck is bad, you know, then he gets out and says, I'm going to get as many as I can before they shoot me. And he starts just blindly stabbing people. And this wasn't the first guy. He did the same thing in Paris. We said the concert. Not just bombs, but bombs for maximum damage, meaning a bomb. And then you place like either ball bearings or nails in there.
Right.
So not only do you have the concussive effect of the blast, you have projectiles, like hundreds of 200, 300 bullets at once, spraying out in all directions.
Yeah, which you only just to mutilate and kill.
Right, that's to cause more graphic, horrible violence, okay? And you're trying to tell me you think the situation would be made worse is if citizens had guns? How? Right. How? It's not like, again, it's not like the old day. Okay, everybody, put your hands up, put your guns down, we'll all get out of here alive, right? Yeah. Bullshit. Savages don't respond to that.
Right.
Savages just know one thing. They're either breathing or they're not. And if they're breathing, odds are they're trying to stop you from breathing.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
The only problem with the gun thing is if you've ever been to Europe.
Yeah.
Europeans are, just as a people, you can actually generalize this about them. They're very just anti-gun. They're very anti-firearms. Yeah, it's all of them though. I was in England, I've been to England 3 times. I actually asked the Bobby one time.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you have nothing but like a club. I said, like, I'm in New York, they all have guns. I said, don't you wish you had a gun? He goes, oh no. He goes, if I had a gun, he goes, there could be shooting or violence. He goes, well, I can handle anything.
Right.
Like, Roy, I was like, and this is back in the '80s. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, yep, there is. It's all of them. Like, if you had like a Second Amendment or if you even had the right to bear arms, they wouldn't do it. They don't believe in it. They don't like them. Europeans consider themselves, even the ones who live like in what you might call the countryside, they consider themselves like very urban and sophisticated. So like guns and things like that, they think are ignorant and stupid and only make things worse. That's all there is to it. As far as the terrorists, the worst part about it is how left-wing, all of Europe is. They're not only do they think the guns are bad, they only want to talk like about the white guy like in Norway who killed people. They only want to talk about that. And the terrorists, like these guys, and I don't know what it's going to take to turn this around. I mean, they, you know, even in France where they have attacks, they've blown up airports in Belgium and Greece and Turkey. Their view right now of the Muslim terrorists is they're treating them like rude guests. Like rambunctious hotel guests who are just out of control. And they just need to calm down, like, and behave a little bit. Like, they don't want to make it that it's about race, religion, whatever. Like, cause right now, Europe is, and like half of this country is doing it right now too, which is the worst thing to be is to be called a racist. As long as you're not called a racist, fine. But I understand you don't want to be a racist. Okay, good for you. You're a nice person. But the problem is when it consumes your thinking to the point where that's it. That's all I care about. I don't want to be perceived as a racist. Like, I have a friend who's a very good lawyer, you know Mark, and he just told me he had a meeting with these guys from Germany the other day. And after the meeting, they went out for a drink, and the German guy said, you know, you guys should take in a lot more refugees. And Mark went, excuse me? And he goes, yeah, like us. And he was thinking, well, we don't want to be like you. You have to realize the whole continent, I'm not kidding, the whites in Europe have lost their minds. The people who are against this kind of thing makes like 5% of each country. They're like so small.
Right. There's this creeping, I don't want to say, because in Europe it's pretty much full fledged. The concept of economic socialism to them seems to spread to every aspect of their life, right? So, they think their entire lives, every aspect of them, are better served by collectivist nonsense, okay? So they think economically collectivism works.
Right.
They think innovation-wise collectivism works. They think race relations-wise collectivism works. Like, if we all just think we're the same person, the same androgynous sort of mulatto-skinned, Esperanto-speaking cocksuckers, pansexuals, that's how the world gets to peace. That's how the world moves forward. And unfortunately for people that think like that, they ignore history. The world has never moved ahead like that.
Right.
The world has always moved ahead by talented and dogged individuals pursuing their own selfish interests and dragging the rest of society with them.
Right.
Okay? Where we draw the line as libertarians, as individualists, is you don't bring that shit to anybody else. You don't force shit on anybody else. I saw a great tweet by, not a great tweet, but it's a great tweet to reply to, rather. You know Bill Kristol?
Mm-hmm.
I think he founded the Washington Standard, I think.
The Weekly Standard.
Or the Weekly Standard, right. Neoconservative. And Bill Kristol. Yeah, and he says, he tweeted, like, the right is too self-righteous and preachy. The center is all wishy-washy and something else.
Uh-huh.
And the left is all denials and groupthink and this and that. He goes, what's a person to do? And I just tweeted back to him. I said, a person could be a libertarian and just let everyone else decide how to live their own lives. That's what you should do.
Right.
You shouldn't be a fucking neocon telling people how to live in their bedrooms and dropping bombs on people. You shouldn't be a fucking leftist statist like Bernie Sanders, stealing everybody's money, keeping a cut for yourself, and allegedly redistributing it.
Right.
Redistributing it, rather, whether it's healthcare or anything else.
Right.
And you shouldn't be these moderate cocksuckers who, in the face of this multiculturalism, non-appropriating bullshit, just sits there and goes, yeah, well, I'm a white guy. I guess I should be guilty. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Like, I can tell you right now, there is nothing. nothing you could bring up to me that will make me feel guilty as a white person.
Yeah.
Or as a Greek, or as a European, or as a male, or whatever. Yeah. Do you know why? Because I don't fucking consider myself to be the only the result of my group designation that you thrust upon me. I really don't.
I don't feel guilty about anything that's gone on in the past.
Yeah.
Unless I had a hand in it, I'm not feeling guilty about it. Look, I understand. You know, I made a comment a few weeks ago about that stupid Michael Moore movie, Where to Invade Next. Yeah. He actually took a part of the movie that he goes to Germany, and he talks about Germany, and then naturally brings up Hitler. Then he brings up the Nazis. Then he brings up, and it's good that the Germans are teaching their kids to feel bad about it. And he showed like a little a German classroom of like third graders. And they were all talking about how bad Hitler was. And oh,
taking
my God.
Shit on
and, picture. And he was, and he was, and he makes me feel bad as a German. Ugh. And I was like, what is wrong with left wingers? Everything is guilt and feeling bad. Like, look, you know what? It's enough for them to realize what happened. It was wrong and don't ever do it again. Stop right there. Why it has to be eternal guilt from here to eternity, right. I have no idea. Plus, as far as what John said, he's absolutely right. You want to talk about, like, here's a real problem with the Europeans. And this is why they're not going to be able to get on top of all this. No, they're just not. Here's another thing. They found out what John was talking about, status, just like Bernie Sanders. The whole continent is practically, except for some of those former Warsaw Pact countries. Some of them are fun, like Hungary. But You look at what used to be Western Europe. They did a poll. They show that the majority of them think that the best system of government is I'll pay any amount in taxes.
Right.
You give me free healthcare, free education, maybe a place to live. Cover that shit for me so I can just focus on my life. And they like the idea of elites, what they think are super smart, super capable people, who will handle all the problems.
Right.
And I can just, you're providing me shit, and then I can just worry about my life. Yeah. That's their definition of freedom. And I can worry about my day-to-day operations.
Yeah.
As long as you take care of the bigger picture, and however much you need from me.
Here's an interesting point to sort of expand on what Larry said. It used to be that when you, growing up, when you had a debate or a conversation with someone who was a socialist or a communist, you've kind of got the feeling that the underlying root was that they really just didn't understand how bad these systems were. Like, you really got the feeling that they thought that somehow magically, yeah, the government, if they take, it's more efficient for the government to collect everyone's money and deal it back out. You know, they really just thought that was a better way of doing things.
Right.
And if you at least sat them down long enough to show them the math, show them the history, you might be able to convince a few of them. The problem now that I'm finding is that a lot of kids and millennials and even just stupid middle-aged people, they understand that socialism's inefficient. They understand that it involves a loss of individuality. They understand that you become a slave to elites. They get all that. And you know what? They don't care.
They think it's great.
They don't give a shit. I don't know if they think it's great, but they don't give a shit because as long as they're taken care of by Big Daddy somewhere, they don't give a fuck.
No, but a lot of them clearly think it's great. Because if you look at the way people reacted to Bernie Sanders, they think it's fucking great. And you're going to see this, and I've already predicted this on the show, you're going to see this with Elizabeth Warren in 2020.
No, of course.
She's going to start running in late 2018. Let me tell you something. You want how annoying our presidential cycle is? That people start running basically 2 years before? You watch. Where are we now? 2017. Okay. By Thanksgiving next year, she's going to be running around already breaking balls and it's not going to be Bernie. He's too old, but he'll go out there and do his part, like on the campaign speech.
Right.
And the most frightening thing of all, now that we're kind of segueing out of terrorist attacks and everything, guess who, and also we're going to talk about Hillary, but guess who's, guess who's thinking of running for a third time? Came out today, Hillary. She's actually floating the idea that she could run again, 2016.
Yeah, that's part of what she's been doing lately, which is she's still continuing in some cunty fashion to float out there that while she lost, it wasn't really her fault.
Yeah.
And while she lost, it was the Russians. It was rubes.
Macedonians.
Macedonian hackers. Well, that's part of that Russian conspiracy.
Fake news.
Fake news and this and that. And she's floating it out there because when she's 75 and like fucking pixie dust falling out of her cunt every night, she thinks that she's going to run for president. Listen, She's not running for president anymore. No one's going to let her run for president. She's like, she was always a shitty candidate, but now she's a shitty candidate who got caught. And I think even internally now, despite what they tell you, the Democratic Party understands she's fucking lost. She's lost. She's gone. What may happen is that her dopey daughter may start running.
No, she's going
to run for something because she's already positioning herself as that. And if you follow her on Twitter, which I do, Chelsea Clinton, she's just as dopey a twat as her mother. Yeah. You know, seriously. But whatever. So, you know, but I don't think Hillary's going to run. She may think she's going to run. I don't think she's going to run.
No, I don't think so either, but she actually floated that.
No, in her mind.
Because she's out right now promoting a book.
Of course.
Okay. So, but while she's out, I saw two different interviews with her. She's blaming the DNC. She's blaming Comey. She's blaming the Russians. She's blaming Macedonians for fake news. 20-year-old kids, apparently, Macedonians put out a lot of fake news that hurt her. She blamed the RNC. She blamed this. She blamed it. Everything but herself. I'm not kidding. Everything but herself. She took no responsibility. Misogyny. That's a big factor. Even though she raised over $1 billion, she won the popular vote, and she had the support of lots of powerful men all around her. But still, she didn't win. It's because she has a vagina. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
What?
She lost because she was a lousy candidate.
Well,
you didn't go to Wisconsin. Meanwhile, you went to Arizona like 10 times.
You had a history. You have a very checkered history of being a corrupt cunt.
Yeah, and you have a very unusual relationship with the truth.
Yeah.
That actually turns people off. I know you don't understand that because you think it's part and parcel of the business you're in. A lot of people don't. You're fucking dishonest. Now, I told you about the night before the election. I went to see Lewis Black in concert. Yeah. Remember I told you about that? I got free tickets. The greatest thing in the world. Lewis Black starts off the show. Now, he's hysterical. But he sells. He goes, I'm a Jew and a socialist. He goes, let me tell you what that means. And he made like a joke about it. But then he goes, let me tell you. He goes, I travel all around this country doing my stand-up. He goes, in parts of this country. And he goes, in Louisiana. He goes, in places. He goes, let me tell you something. They really fucking hate her guts. They really just wish she'd go away. And she won't go away. And they can't stand her. And they think she's lying and she's a corrupt piece of shit. And like, but you know, the thing is, he didn't go out of his way really to defend her very much. He just kind of emphasized on how vicious they were towards her. There's something wrong with you. And you know, the thing is, there's been so much talk the past couple of months about Donald Trump and his mental health. And that asshole Maxine Waters is still talking about impeaching him and all this. That's not going to happen. Okay? All this stupid stuff, right? Look at why doesn't somebody talk about her mental health?
Oh, I think a lot of people do.
I mean, she blamed the DNC. She's blaming the Russian button. Fucking Macedonians. She's blaming Obama and Biden a little. Like, they didn't really help her enough. Everybody but herself. She took none of the heat. Misogyny, sexual. What was the other thing? I can't remember. There's one of the emails, Comey, and like just, and like everything that she said, she had like, she had an excuse for it. Like, it was always something else. And meanwhile, and even people like, look at MSNBC, which is the official lick my balls DNC. They love the DNC. I mean, even like Joe Scarborough, he's a fake Republican. He's basically a Democrat at this point. They have, who's that woman? Andrea Peters, whatever her name is, she's been up over there forever. Even she went. She's floating weird conspiracies right now.
Yeah.
That I can't remember her name, Andrea, but she's old. She's been there forever. She even old time liberals who defend her and probably voted for her and they love, even they're putting out there, what is she talking about?
Well,
and that she's like self-aggrandizing horseshit.
She's always been like that.
Yeah. You know, Andrea Mitchell.
Yeah, but she's always been like that. Hillary, I mean, she's always been someone who has, rather than confronted the truth, rather than admitted the shit, and she's not a good liar. Like, her husband is a good liar, right?
Well, he's a great liar.
She's like a lousy liar, and she's never owned up to anything. And, like, you know, most of you don't remember this. When her attempt at universal health care working for her husband in the mid-90s failed, 94, 95, it failed, and she was testifying before Congress, she literally said, I'm the victim. My husband and I are the victims of a right-wing conspiracy. People forget that.
A vast right-wing.
That was in the congressional record. That was her excuse for why shit wasn't getting done. For why, when they keep finding evidence of her, like, having done something underhanded or shady, right? The
travel gate.
The travel gate, the future futures gate.
Yeah.
The, was it with the, who are
the Chinese computers and the Chinese computers,
the bombs, the spies, the email servers, Benghazi, like, even if you think she's innocent, and there's still a lot of idiots that think she is completely innocent, even if you think she's innocent, you have to understand that as a candidate, you can't have this shit follow you around. For most candidates, Trump, to this day, I still don't understand how he won, even with the number of rubes supporting him. Because, like, he basically is the somewhat masculine version of Clinton. Just like all this stupid shit following, it just didn't stick to him for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's why the Republicans didn't want him. You know, the Republicans never pretended to want Trump, let's be honest.
No.
The Republican Party, they never really wanted him.
No, not
it's
at
just
all.
At some point they said, like a He's lot of Republicans I know, we don't want Hillary to win.
Right.
And honestly, they thought Trump was going to lose, and why waste a real candidate on a loss? I think that was all, to be honest with you, I think that was also part of the strategy.
No, but like, you have to realize, half the people who voted for Trump just hated Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And half the people who voted for Hillary Clinton just hated Donald Trump. I mean, that's, you know, that's, but that's important. Because John and I voted for Gary Johnson knowing he's not going to win. But, and I'm not trying to show off, but we're principled people, right? Yeah. Look, I went in, I got to the point at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm there filling it in. That's how they do it now. There are these little desks with the white
pencil readers. Yeah.
And I'm saying, and I know, you know, I can't, I'm not going to be enjoying a victory at the end of the day. Now, of course, I thought Hillary was going to win, but I know lots of people who, you know, you have to realize if your candidate is only getting like half their support because other people just hate the other person, that's nothing to brag about. It's nothing to feel good about. Like the Hillary people and the Trump people, they talk about like the people who really like these people. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you people, because neither of these two assholes had any business running for president. I don't know why you would look at that as a good thing. I mean, look, I happen to have a lot of people in my family voted for Trump, but for some of them, it was just, they're so happy that she lost. I can't even tell you. And
so hopefully now though, she'll just put an end to this shit.
No, you know, she's going to keep doing it.
She's going to keep doing, but I think she's done. I don't think there's any chance she runs again, even if.
But her rationalizations are.
Well,
crazy.
She's insane. She's insane.
Like part of the, here's another thing. Here's a cue. What do you think of this? During one of the interviews she did, she goes, I got paid for making speeches. Other politicians get made for making speeches. Except for one thing. Not everybody gets $225,000 for making a speech. I understand everybody gets overpaid, but you got three speeches at Goldman that brought you in like 600. And to show you have like fucking tone deaf, do you understand that 200, that's like more than some people make in years of salary? You got for a 1 hour speech. Excuse me. I mean, talk about like just aloof.
Well, I don't even care about that, but what's interesting to me, if you're going to go anywhere near
that. No, but there's supposed to be the party of the little guy.
But what's even more interesting, did you notice the Clinton Foundation shut down now that she's not going to be president?
Yeah.
Like that whole influence, allegedly non-influence peddling out for the good of society foundation.
Yeah.
Licked my balls the second all those contributors realized she wasn't going to be president anymore, and basically that her influence like eats my ass.
Yeah.
So right now, and did you notice how coincidental that was? You know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and of course Hillary Clinton is the kind of person who gets a lot of support from the people in Hollywood. You know, they're all left wing, they're all idiots out there. So now that Trump has won, now you've seen all the people in Hollywood. They've can't
lost
stand
their fucking
Donald
minds.
Trump.
They've lost their minds.
They've lost their mind. I mean, from Katy Perry, De Niro, they're the stupidest fucking people in the world. And now earlier this week, we have Kathy Griffin.
Yeah,
incredibly unfunny Kathy Griffin. Let me tell you, I can say that because I saw her stand up once in Vegas and I almost fell asleep during it. It was part of another show with somebody else. Awful.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen the New Year's Eve thing she did with Anderson Cooper, she did this for years. I watched it once for like 2 minutes. I was happy to put Fox back on. At least I could look at Kimberly Guilfoyle. Kathy Griffin is the most unfunny, stupid asshole in the whole world. So now she does this thing with the bloody head.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a little bit torn on this because, like, honestly, look, I don't think she's funny either, to be honest with you. I think she's one of these celebrities who's a celebrity only because she's an annoying bitch that constantly pops up everywhere. I don't think she's talented in any measurable way. But all right, she did something that she thought would get her attention, that she thought might either be funny or insightful or satire, sarcasm, whatever the fuck, right? I couldn't care less.
She thought it was edgy, but she thought she was drawing attention to
herself. That's what I meant. She did it for attention. She thought she was edgy. She thought she was made. I don't give a fuck, to be honest with you. But you know what? Let her do it.
Right.
I have no problem with her doing it. Honestly, I couldn't even get myself worked up enough to comment about it. Like, usually if you find me on Twitter, I'll be joking about it or something like that. I couldn't give a shit, to be honest with you. Also because I don't particularly care for Trump either. So, for me, this was a complete neutral event. I had no... But I have to tell you, the reactions on both sides fucking are amazing to me. First of all, you've got everybody on the right. You've got Donald Trump himself saying bad, bad things about it. You've got Donald Trump Jr. like basically calling her a cunt. Then they start putting reports out there like, oh, Barron Trump is traumatized. Why should Barron Trump have to see that? You're his parents. Monitor what he watches. He's an 11-year-old. Okay? And by the way, if you don't want your son to be traumatized, don't run for president. Seriously. What do you think is going to happen? You have kids? Now, I do agree that it's sort of an unwritten rule.
Yeah, I mean, nobody ever bothered Sasha and Malia.
No, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's... Don't attack the kid personally. I get that. That's sort of like a mafia unwritten rule, right? You don't fuck with people's families. I get it.
If you're not a player.
But Kathy Griffin didn't fuck with Barron Trump initially. You know, she was just like holding up, you know. So
she did say she was going to go after him.
That was an earlier article she wrote from Vulture. She did say it as part of a joke. I read it. It was part of a joke. The joke was, other comedians wants to start beating up Donald Trump now that he's president. I'm going to start with Barron Trump so I get a leg up on everybody and be edgy. That's not threatening the kid, okay? That's another attempt at a bad joke. You have to understand how these things are uttered.
But she's stupid.
I didn't say she's smart, but you know what I'm saying? But good jokes, I've said this before, good jokes and bad jokes, insightful commentary and shitty commentary all come from the same process. They all come from the same process. It comes from someone thinking of something, saying it, and seeing what the reaction's going to be.
Right.
Okay? Right. It's the same fucking process. Very few people know what's going to be funny. The funniest people in the world, whoever that might be, in your opinion... That's why they go to these clubs that no one ever heard of in the middle of fucking nowhere to work out their material. Because they don't know what's funny, necessarily. Louis C.K. says, you know, he does one a year where he just goes out on tour unannounced. He just shows up and he'll just start working out his material, okay? So Kathy Griffin, I didn't think it was funny. I wouldn't have done it simply because I wouldn't want the heat of an asshole on me who's president. But she chose to do that. Conservatives should shut the fuck up. Because I can't tell you, Larry, how many of these commentaries I've seen, like, I believe in free speech, but this was over the line. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not over the line.
The only thing I would point out is I'm pretty sure if somebody had done this with Obama's head, it would have been a very different reaction.
Well, yeah, everybody.
So that's you would have been racist. You would have been a this.
Well, that's the other thing that
so we have to deal with hypocrisy too.
Well, the hypocrisy.
Everybody's playing favorites.
Well, the hypocrisy is very thick, you know.
Yeah.
Like because there were a lot of Republicans who pointed out correctly that when that rodeo clown put on the mask of Obama while he was doing his rodeo clown shtick, the uproar was fucking, you know. But you know what? It was wrong then, and it was wrong now, and I've never used the excuse that what I'm doing now is good because someone else, I know it's bad, but someone else did it. So it's okay if I do it.
Yeah.
That's like Rube reasoning, okay? And by the way, it's not just Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, she lost her job, though.
That's her problem. I don't give a shit.
No, I'm just saying, they did fire her.
Bill Maher.
Oh, Bill Maher.
Same thing, right? He's sitting there with Senator Ben
Sass
of Nebraska,
right?
And he was just interviewing him, being pseudo-confrontational. And he said, Bill, you know, Bill, the senator, said, you should come to Montana.
Yeah.
Nebraska, sorry. And he goes, oh, really? What would I do there? He goes, well, we've got fields for you to work in. You know, like, okay. The second that came out of his mouth, I said, okay, I see where the joke is coming, right? Not that I'm a stand-up comedian, not that I'm terribly quick, Larry, but as soon as that sentence came out of the senator's mouth, I knew it. And Bill Maher just looked at him and said, whoa, Senator, I'm not working in no field. I'm a house nigger. And now everybody wants Bill Maher's head on the platter.
Yeah.
HBO refuses to air that episode because it was during the live airing.
And so they took it out.
But then in the subsequent airings and even the uploaded stuff, they took it out. You have to understand something. I don't like Bill Maher. But if any, but on some level, I love it when liberals eat their own.
Yeah.
Right. This is it. Bill Maher is not a conservative. He's not a Trump supporter. He's not racist. Okay. None of us would even come close to saying that. Okay.
He's not even a moderate.
All right. Yeah. And honestly, again, sometimes funny, but mostly not. Like, his funny stuff seems to be his written work, his produced work, like when he did
Religulous
and stuff like that. That's when he seems to be his funniest, more as a writer than a stand-up, right? But anyway, whatever. That joke, in my opinion, not only should it not have been edited, it shouldn't have been censored, he shouldn't have to apologize for it. And number three, I actually thought in the context of what he was trying to do, it was pretty funny and biting. It really was. Because what is the common refrain of liberals against Republicans? Sorry, you're all racist. You're all fucking racist. So here's a Republican senator and a fairly libertarian one. Sass is.
Yeah, he's not Mr. Conservative.
He's pretty open-minded and liberty-oriented. And he made that unfortunate line, well, we've got fields for you to work in. I'm not a field nigger, I'm a house nigger, Senator. That is a liberal making the assumption that a Republican is a racist and hitting him with that joke. Guess what? I laughed at that. I thought it was funny. And again, I'm no Bill Maher fan. And both these so-called comedians, the reason I lost respect for them, Larry, they fucking apologized.
Yeah.
They fucking apologized. That, to me, is the only reason I think that none of this was sincere on their part. Kathy Griffin now is on some apology tour. Now she's, again, falling into that liberal thing of, I got to blame something else. Oh, yeah, they're bullying me. That's the thing.
The sitting president is bullying me. And she hires stupid Gloria Allred's daughter to represent her.
Shut up, you fucking cunt. I had 10 times more respect for you and your stupid, shitty, unfunny statement. What meant more to me if you just stood there defiant, saying, fuck you, Donald Trump, to the end. What are you going to do, you goose-stepping cocksucker, put me in jail? That should have been her response. And Bill Maher's response to fucking the NAACP, anybody who told him he was a racist, he should have pulled out his cock and just right in their face. Right. That should have been his apology.
Right. But everybody these days apologizes.
Fuck that.
And, like, removes tweets. Like, you know, like stupid Griffin. She actually stood there playing the victim now.
Yeah.
Now she's the victim. I mean, talk about, this is what I hate about left-wingers. They can't take responsibility for anything. So now it's Donald Trump's fault. It's his kid's fault. It's the media's fault.
They're bullying me.
Anderson Cooper didn't stand up for me. And then she said something stupid like, you mess with the wrong redhead. What the fuck does that mean? Does having red hair make you tough? You look like a Mick whore, for God's sake. Fuck you. Fuck your mother. So it's like, no, well, really, what does that even mean? So she's another, like, delusional nut. And then, of course, what is the number one scapegoat for leftists these days? I have a bunch of old white guys trying to push me around telling me what to do. I've had old white guys ruining my entire life. That's actually what she said, really. Could you give us a list of names of who's been ruining your life? You know who's ruining your life? Being an unfunny cunt is ruining your life. That's what's ruining your life.
And honestly, they should have both just said, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, look, our buddy Anthony Cumia got fired from his job at Sirius, a very well-paying gig. Had to start his own network to earn money and everything. Do you know he never apologized once? He never said he was sorry.
Man, we met
him. He just said, go fuck yourselves. I am not apologizing for my opinion. And by the way, neither do we. If 10 people see this and 10 people came up to us and said, you offended me, I would say, go fuck yourselves. Your feelings mean nothing to me.
That's right.
The First Amendment does not care about your fucking feelings. Period.
On top of which, what exactly are you offended by?
Yeah.
First off, even John saying what he said, he was just quoting what Bill Maher said on the show. Yeah. He's not even putting it out there in a direct manner. I mean, you know, you're just taking discourse down to, but this is going on all over the place. I was with the left that they just, do campuses. They don't even want to hear people's speeches who are conservative or libertarian, like any point of view that's different than their own.
I'm sorry, to your point, this is where I suffer from my short term memory loss, Larry. But I don't remember the name of the college and I don't remember the name of the president. But I do remember it was a college somewhere and the president of the college was a Jewish guy. And he was confronted by some radical black I don't want to say Black Lives Matter group, but a
left-wing group.
A left-wing pro-black student group, right?
Right.
And they demanded that he establish a No Whites Day in the college or No Whites Week.
Yeah.
And he asked them, like, well, what do you hope that accomplishes? And they said, they gave him the typical bullshit. We hope to start dialogue of how the white man has fucked us over and shit like that. And he basically said, I'm all for that dialogue. He goes, but I don't see how you stop racism by being racist.
Yeah.
I don't see how you stop racism by saying there's an entire race of people we're not going to allow on campus.
Right.
So he said no to them. They started protesting, asking him to resign, putting pressure on board members and shit like that. To the moment, I don't think he's been fired. But I wouldn't be surprised. What the fuck? I don't understand people. Yeah. Liberals are fucking... Look, right-wing ringers can be bad, okay? Especially on the hypocrisy front. But on the pure logic front, Larry, I'm trying to understand these left-wingers, right? So, perfect example... Minor thing, but I saw this on Facebook. I had to jump in with some of my liberal friends. There was the Alamo Firehouse or one of these movie theaters in chains in Texas, I think in Houston, put up Wonder Woman screenings for women only.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, look at Larry, look at me. We'll tell you right now. Good for you. You want to have women's only screening for whatever reason? No men allowed, whatever? God bless. Go do it. It's a private theater. If you think that's going to help, have your fucking women's only screening. But if you're a fucking liberal, you have to admit to me that if it's okay for you to do that, it's okay for Christian bakers not to bake a gay wedding cake. You have to. You have to admit that it's okay for the Boy Scouts of America to be a straight-only organization. You have to admit that any ethnic group, excluding others, is okay. Not just the ones you feel are aggrieved.
I understand what you're saying and the consistency of it, but I think this is a very bad trend. Because I remember I was watching on the news the other day, there's some town in Iowa called Storm Lake, something like that. And there's a lot of Hispanics who have moved there and working jobs. And they've been complaining that white people have been getting hired. And, like, you know, there seems to be a lot of this actually going on in little places around this country of people who want to exclude other people just based on their race or something. And it seems to be largely directed at white people. And I think this is a very bad trend. So I understand what John is saying about the consistency of it, but I think it's all pretty bad. I mean, a woman's only, not a good idea.
No, it's
complaining
not.
Complaining about white people getting hired? Come on, give me a fucking break.
Listen, I don't say they're good ideas. I just say
I understand.
That if you're going to have laws that allow discrimination for the preference of... See, that's the thing liberals don't understand. When you say, well, why... Like, I actually asked them, I said, why do you think this women's only screening is a good idea? And they said to me, oh, because it's for women's empowerment. It's a female hero. One of the few to break the patriarchal storytelling of Hollywood. All this horse shit, right? Great. You believe in all that shit. But the point is, when you include something, you're excluding something. Whether you want to or not.
Right.
See, the exclusion...
You can't have one without the
right,
other.
Right. Yeah. The exclusion... See, to me, all you're saying is, well, it's bad if you exclude Puerto Ricans. It's bad if you exclude Mexicans or blacks or Asians. It's bad if you exclude them. But it's great if you want to include only women and raise them up. Or include only African Americans and raise them up.
But it's very dangerous.
That's horseshit. It is horseshit because, I'm sorry, Larry. Not because of what Larry's saying. I don't think these are effective tools. I think inclusion, integration is what builds a better society. But it has to be voluntary. It can't be forced. Because when you force integration, when you force...
when you're forcing
anything,
you're coerting people. Yeah,
no, it's horrible. Okay, so while I don't think women's only works, I still would say if you think that's okay as a liberal, then explain to me why it's wrong for these bakers not to bake gay cakes.
And it's not just here. Like, for instance, speaking about what John was saying, you were talking about the Wonder Woman movie,
yeah,
that they had a woman's only. Yeah. Like, for instance, the woman who is in the movie,
Gal Gadot
is Israeli.
By the way, she's a piece of ass.
And
by the way,
there's a Muslim country, I forget which one, Lebanon is it? They're banning the movie from being shown because she's an Israeli.
And she was in the Israeli army.
Yeah. That's so, I mean, the whole concept is just, you know, it's all ignorance. You know, like if you can't put up with other people, you know what? Do the rest of us a favor. Go move in the fucking top of a mountain or something. You know, because I don't have a problem getting along with other people. And I'm actually appalled that people are just so stupid.
No, look,
I mean, come on. What is the big fucking deal?
I'm appalled on a personal level. I've always said that. Like, but it's not the right thing to do. Like this other thing that's sort of related. These two white women opened up, I forget the state, but it's one of these left-wing states. Opened up a Mexican restaurant that they claimed made authentic tamales and stuff.
Yeah,
they went to Mexico. They learned from like authentic Mexican cooks.
I think they're in Colorado.
Right, where it was, you know. And they made these tacos according to, quote unquote, the authentic Mexican way. And from what I could tell, initially they were doing good business and everything.
Yeah.
They had to shut down their business because these protest groups accused them of cultural appropriation, of stealing the Latino and the Mexicans' history and culture and cuisine and using it for their own profit. What
the fuck are you talking about?
Make up your fucking minds. Are we supposed to love and be one big happy race? How do you do that without appropriation and integration? I'm just saying logically.
But they just don't want white people doing it.
That's what it comes
down actually,
to.
It's really just directed at white people.
Okay, you don't want cultural appropriation?
You know what? I don't understand. You know how many pizza parlors, I live in New York, you know how many pizza parlors in the city right now are owned and run and everybody works as Hispanic? Who the fuck's complaining that they're making
Italian pizzas? Or those Chinese fast food places that are run by, the Mexican fast food places in New York that are run by all Asians.
Yeah.
These are the hottest things in New York right now for a quick lunch. But let me ask you, left-wing social justice cocksucker something. If you think it's cultural appropriation if, say, Larry opens up a store to sell tacos, okay, if that's cultural appropriation, is it cultural appropriation when you guys get a penicillin shot when you're sick? Meaning non-whites? White guy invented that.
Right.
White guy invented open heart surgery. So when you need a bypass, do you have to be white only to get that?
Yeah. You ever turn the lights on in your house?
Yeah.
Guess what?
You dumb fucks just don't think things through, do you? And the sad part is this is originating, Larry, largely from college campuses.
Oh, my God.
Where you would think that there might be some people who actually put some thought towards something in these fucking places. But it's ridiculous. Why don't you think things through logically? Why don't you say, if I believe A, then it also means B? What is the logical following? What is the logical conclusion to my thought exercise if I hold these bullshit positions?
I got to tell you, John, if you're waiting for logic from safe spaces and microaggressions and cultural appropriation, what are you fucking assholes talking about? This reminds me of the white kid in some college in Washington, and he had like dreadlocks. And some black girl, like, grabbed his arm and started, like, yelling, oh, yeah, get the fuck out of here, for God's sakes. Cultural appropriation. You know what? You know who invented basketball? A little white guy. I've seen a picture of him with glasses. And I think he was from, like, Illinois.
James Naismith.
Yeah, and, like, I think he was from, like, Illinois. Is it cultural appropriation that black people, Chinese people, other people play basketball, for God's sakes? Or does it only work one way? Because
it only works one way
because they think whites have been dominant and mean and race. Oh, please. They're so fucking stupid. Go fix the still for a rock enterprise.
instead of just saying, like, we should fight for equal access, which I'm down with.
Yeah.
You know, instead of saying, let everybody be themselves, which is what we're down with, you're saying we all. Why does every Mexican have to be, look, think, and act the same? Why does every black person have to look, think, act, and be the same? I don't get it. That's dehumanizing.
It is. And you know what the thing is? That's a good point. Because the view of the left is that these people really have one monolithic way of being.
Absolutely.
And if you disagree, you're an Uncle Tom or you're an ass.
Right.
Look at the way they treated Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court all these years. Or any other
person. If you're a member of the group, you're an Uncle Tom. If you're someone outside the group saying that, you're a racist.
Right.
That's the explanation. So me and Larry are racist when we say not all black people are these monolithic, single-issue all have the same problems and all have the same aspirations.
I mean, I read an article that said Denzel Washington's a Republican. Is he a sellout? Is he an all time? You know what? He's a great fucking actor. And he went to Ford. But with the few minutes that remain, John and I have found something where Donald Trump did the right thing. So since we've been bashing him for almost...
Is his use of the word cafeve?
Cafeve. And Sean Spicer, I love you. You're just too funny. But at this point, I'm going to just very quickly... Trump walked out on the Paris Accord. And, of course, I represent Pittsburgh, not Paris. Right. Okay. So, but we've been bashing him for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Ever since he came down the escalator with Melania. So here it comes. We found something. Even though it's a non-binding agreement, he could have just said, yeah, and walked off. I agree with what he did. I think the Paris Accord, the whole global warming thing, I think this needs to be revisited. I was reading something recently about all the predictions that Al Gore made in An Inconvenient Truth. He actually made a sequel to it. A lot of the things he said were wrong, one of which, the movie came out in 2005. He said by 2015, a lot of New York was going to be underwater. Well, I live in the city. We're not underwater. Yeah. So you know what? He walked out and he came back and said, we're going to try and negotiate a better deal.
Of course.
Which was, of course, led Angela Merkel to do her Hitler impersonation and say she doesn't trust the your English anymore and Americans as reliable allies, and Europe has to have their own destiny, really trying to step forward and be like this. You know what? Fuck her. You know why? Because she doesn't care about this country. She doesn't care about the U.S. taxpayers. A lot of the people on the left think that the West has been bad and greedy and mean and taking advantage of poor people. So you know what? They think we should pony up and just pay for everything. And our industries should just convert to whatever they need to do for global warming. And all this money, it's like $1 trillion. It's crazy. And it's only going to reduce like the temperature, like 1 degree or some stupid thing. And the Chinese and the Indians, who are 1 and 2, along with the United States, they're up there as the biggest carbon foot, you know, violators. They don't have to do a fucking thing. But we have to do everything.
Yeah, I agree. We should have pulled out of that accord. For all the left saying he should be impeached for violating a treaty, let me remind you of two things. It's not a treaty.
That's right.
It's not a treaty. Secondly, treaties have to be approved by the Senate. In this case, the U.S.'s participation in the climate accords in Paris were done by Obama on his own.
That's right. And Obama put through the Iran deal, and he didn't send it to the Senate.
Right? So for all of you thinking that Trump is doing... Look, I would have maybe presented it a different way, but the end result of him pulling out, I have no problem with at all. And it's interesting to me how the left is swinging it, right? Like, he's violating a treaty. How can any allies trust us? This and that. That has nothing to do with it, okay? And I've said all along, this carbon carbon offsets that Al Gore, this and that, is horseshit. All it does is it makes third world countries pay for the first world country's use of electricity and carbon, okay? That's it. That's all it does. It shifts the burden, right? It doesn't do anything to help
the planet. Yeah, but they're trying to get the Western countries to really pay, to bring them along.
No, but that's the point. All it is socialism. It just redistributes. It does nothing to actually, quote-unquote, save the environment if that's what you're interested in. And by the way, these eggheads who think the world is getting warmer, first of all, listen, I told you, I don't know with any confidence, one way or the other, if what's happening is a pattern, B, not natural, C, reversible. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't know that. And I'm betting that for most of you watching me right now or listening to me, I'm more of a scientist than you are. And I guarantee you, I have no fucking clue what's going on. For every one allegedly reputable thing that says the world is coming to an end and New York's going to be underwater, I see one that says this is total horseshit.
Right.
Okay, we know the Earth is warming. Why? Because like a couple of 100,000 years ago, this whole planet was covered in fucking ice. Remember the Ice Age? Go watch the cartoon sometime. All right?
But they keep talking about it. It's due to human activity.
No, but I'm saying we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Pollution is a different story. Pollution is a very, very directly tied to human activity and has a detrimental effect. That's different. So if you're talking about changing smog, getting rid of pollution, cleaning up rivers, all that shit, that's different. But this climate change, I'm sorry, I don't buy it, okay? And if I did buy it, I certainly don't think the answer would be to just throw money at it without actually doing something.
Right.
Okay? So this Paris, it just makes fucking socialists feel good. Hey, we're all doing something together. Go fuck yourself.
Right.
If anything really bad is happening with the weather, I guarantee you we're going to build a fucking bubble over the United States. And it'll be 70, it'll be like my living room. 72 degrees, no humidity the whole time. We'll just build like one of these fucking force field bubbles.
That would be cool.
Like we always do. Trust me, when things get tough, man builds whatever they need to get by.
You adjust. And Mother Nature adjusts too, which is being left out of all
and
this.
And at the end of the day, physicists tell us in a couple of billion years the universe is coming to an end anyway. Mm-hmm. Entropy. It's going to slow down and just nothing will exist. So what the fuck?
So let's go to Mars. Okay.
So why doesn't somebody just...
Yeah. So fuck you. So anyway.
So that's about
it. That's the show.
That's the show for this week. Glad you could join us once again, Larry. Saying thank you to the nice people.
Au revoir.
Au revoir to you too.
Yeah.
Until next week, when we attempt this again, this has been your host, Big Bad John.
Judah Larry M.
Peace, bitches.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice, and I just love Sunday morning plumpkins.